This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. This week, we are really excited to be welcoming a powerhouse of a woman onto Finding the Funny. She began her career on the hit MTV show Geordie Shore, a show I was completely obsessed with during all of her seasons. From this, she also starred in shows such as X on the Beach and has found herself on the cover of many a magazine. In 2015, she was crowned the Queen of the Jungle as she won the iconic show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It was her humour, warmth and zest for life that meant she won the hearts of millions. Since then, her career has grown and grown, and she has now written books, been vocal about her mental health, and continued to be a voice around women's issues. She is unapologetically herself, open about the ups and downs of life, and continues to ensure she is consistently real with her followers and fans. Please give it up for a really warm welcome to one of our favourite women in media, Vicky Patterson! Woo!
God, that was so nice. Epic. I actually, wasn't that such a nice intro? Fucking,
honestly,
I'm proud of my fucking self after hearing that.
So you should be. Right. So you bloody should be, Patterson.
Thanks, Babs. Thanks for having me, Ruth and Ange.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah,
my pleasure.
We honestly were like, shit, Vicky said yes. I love I'm a Celeb, Vicky.
We are obsessed with that show. So good, isn't it? Honestly, guys, yous are exactly the same as me. Like, whenever anyone says yes to my podcast, like, I do a little dance. I get so excited. It's mad, though, isn't it? Like, it started to be the barometer for which I judge people. Like, if someone says yes, I think, yes, you support other women, you're a good egg, like, you want other people to succeed, like, you're the duck's nuts. And if someone says no, I think, you're a bit of a bell end.
You're a bit of a bell end.
And I just got that card marked. And it doesn't matter how legitimate the reason is. I think I'll fucking remember that next time you've got a fake tan out, dickhead. I remember it. We have
definitely got a few of those cards marked as well. So, we've come across some pricks, some bell ends. So,
All the different dicks.
I was obsessed with your seasons of Geordie Shore, Vicky. I honestly binged them, watched them. I've watched most of your seasons more than once, I think.
I have to admit, Vicky, right? I have never watched an episode of Geordie Shore.
So we've got like polar ends of the spectrum here.
I'm a massive fan. This is basically Pats and I all the time. Like, she knows it all. She's watched it all. She's been there. She's all. I'm like, I ain't got a clue.
And she doesn't give a shit.
I don't really know the program.
Are you not up on popular culture?
No, music.
Right. Okay.
I would trump Patty music wise every day of the week.
Reality TV. She's got fucking nothing on me. I don't.
I've never watched one. I mean, I've heard about them. Yeah. I heard about all the antics that went on.
Well, actually, one of the questions we had for you, we had loads of questions from our listeners, but one that we had was, what is your wildest memory from Geordie Shore?
God, mate. Do you know what? It's actually, rather disappointingly, I don't have that many clear memories as you can imagine. Sure. Not only was it 10 years ago, it is a show that kind of revolves heavily around binge drinking and partying and all the rest of it. Apart from any, it has blurred into one as well.
Sure.
But right, go on, let me see if I can have a think for you. I don't like to
scan your memory.
Do you know, it wasn't when we were filming, right?
Right.
But we were, as a collective, in Frankfurt in Germany.
We got around, we're a fucking
draft wouldn't us
did you
by
have,
the end.
Did you have any bratwurst?
No, mate, actually, I distinctly remember just having loads of blue WKD. I couldn't believe I'd found somewhere that done it, and I was like, in Germany, nonetheless. They probably had it shipped in specifically for us. But yeah, we were presenting an award at the EMAs, like a European Music Awards for MTV. Amazing. And they were launching our show across Europe, and this was their way to like introduce it to audiences, I think. And we were standing there just getting ready to practice, giving this award, and Kim Kardashian walked out. I know.
Oh my
what?
God.
I know. And she just walked on stage and they were like, can you step back? Can you step back? Kim has very little time to practice this and you need to get out the way. And I thought, yeah, all right. I get it. We're not as important. So we all just kind of shuffled back like, ah, we're fucking trying to keep our cool because Kim Kardashian was within spitting distance. And she just was like, I'm so sorry, guys. And we were like, no, don't apologize, Kim. Fucking crack get yourself away. Yeah.
That is amazing.
That was pretty epic.
Also, do you know that I call Ruth Patty?
No, but like I was getting a bit confused because I'm Vicky Patterson, so I was like, is she that familiar straight away? Because I like it, but I'm into it.
We were actually saying this was like the meeting of the two Patties.
Yeah, the Patty.
Yeah. Patty one and Patty two.
Oh my gosh. There can only be one, Ruth.
There'll only ever be one Patty, and that is definitely not me.
That's you. That's you, Patterson.
No. Yeah, that's Patterson for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Well, getting a bit more up to date with TV and what you're currently doing or have done.
Okay.
I have watched the Celebrity SAS.
Oh, God, fuck me all.
Holy shite. How the hell did you do that? And what was it like?
It's just awful, guys. Honestly, I haven't got any nice words to say about it. Everyone keeps hoping, like, I'm going to say, like, oh, yeah, it was really challenging and I took something away from it. But it's just a bag of shit, wasn't it?
Was it bad?
I just hated it so much. Yeah. Like, obviously, I love, like, the people I did it with. Ulrika Johnson, Syrah Khan, Jay Quittenden, Aria Duba, Wes Nelson, Alexandra Burke. Like, I could go on and on and on. James Cracknell, who's became one of my most like favorite people in the world.
Wow.
Like, honestly, like, I'm just in awe of the amazing people I did it with, and I'm so grateful that I got to meet them. Mm-hmm. But SES as a show is just so tough, and it's everything you'd expect it to be, and then some. Yeah. Like, and I just think, I know there's a whole new host of celebs have gone out and done this year's, and I had some of them on the phone, and I was like, how do I tell them like how tough it actually is without making them drop out, you know?
Totally putting them off.
Without leaving Channel 4 without a show, you know what I mean? And then we'll just be like, fucking Vicky Patterson, tell everyone how bad it is. So obviously I didn't want to be that dickhead, but I was like, I had a couple of them on and I was like, you just can't. It is the toughest thing I've ever done. Yeah. And like, just like the TV show, like when you watch it at home, it just doesn't quite do it justice. Like, you run further, the packs were heavier, the weather is colder.
Oh,
like the DS, like, you know, Foxy and whoever, they're tougher than you can imagine. Like, and I'm used to doing lovely shows, like, maybe it's not Geordie Shore, you know, but like, I'm a celebs, you're MasterChef's course trip, lovely things like
MasterChef, shit, MasterChef, amazing, yeah.
Where like, you know, the camera gets put down, the people drop the camera, and like Ant and Dec go, just so you know, you're fucking smashing a fic.
Yeah.
Or John and Greg come over and they go, keep calm, you're doing well. You get those like really
moments.
Beautiful moments that bring you back down to earth and remind you it's just a TV show. Chill out, Vicky. You're in cancer. Like, relax, like, have some fun. You get those moments. And but on like the hardest thing for me was on SES, there is no moment like that. Like, the camera crew can walk off, sure enough, but Ant Milton never drops that it's who he is, you know. So he doesn't give you like a pat on the shoulder and go, you're doing great, Vicky, keep going, like, it's tough going. And he just looks at you like you're a piece of shit, and you think, I am a piece of shit, and I am, you're so
did you have to do like any like training to go and do it, like, because that is amazingly tough physically and mentally, but the physical aspect of that show.
I mean, I was woefully unprepared, which, like, I think has led me to have like such a difficult time out there, because so I did it in lockdown year, you know. So like any other year, like, I'm relatively physically fit, like, especially I walk the dog miles, I fucking like Pilates, I train.
I love your
trainer.
Dog, by the way. Oh, what an amazing dog.
You can have him if you want him, Ruth. He's a fucking pain in the ass at the minute. He's at adolescence, he's just humping us all the time, man. I just non-stop. It's getting shagged off my lab.
I think we got our dogs at a similar time.
Did we?
Yes.
When did you get Milo, Vicky?
When did you get Milo?
So I got him like in the summer. I've had him about 5 months now.
Same with Luna.
Same.
I got Luna.
And what breed's she, Ange?
Right, I always feel like a bit of a twat when I say this, right?
It's a twatty breed.
It's a twatty breed, okay? Oh, but she's bloody wonderful. So she is a cavapouchon.
Oh, God. And also has a coffee order as long as her arm and says she wants extra foam, dry, no whipped, chai, decaf latte.
I actually don't. I can't.
While she's walking her cavapouchon and having avocado on toast, darling.
Oh, Ange, I drink like green tea and I've got a lab. I feel like we're opposite ends of this spectrum.
Opposite ends of the spectrum. Yeah.
Although I am not that coffee twat. I really am not. I'm the straight like white Americano. I'm not really that shit on there. But my dog, unfortunately, is the twat in the dog. But she is wonderful and beautiful. But I totally get where you're coming from because it is so hard at times because you love them so much, but bloody hell do they.
They're wankers.
Test your patience, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the, like, me. I took Milo to see my dad yesterday and, like, he did his usual trick, like, he was jumping up and biting and everything. And my dad lives quite a small, secular life. Like, he was, like, he was like, what on earth, Vicky, does this not hurt you? And I was like, Dad, like, I just love him so much. Like, you've got to look. And then next thing you know, Milo's like, my dad lives in a flat, so Milo's running around this flat with a toilet roll that he's found, and my dad's chasing him going, because the weather's been so bad, my dad's not been out, and he's like, Milo, come back, it's my last one, what if I need a shit? I was like, Dad, honestly, like, you just never get a dog. Like, just never get a dog, because quite clearly you've got this little life that you love and this chaos is not for you. So I think you have to really love the man. And I love him so much, like, same. Far more than I love me fella. Like,
same.
You know, it's like, I'm just so obsessed with him. So that helps me when he's being naughty, and I'm sure you feel the same way with
Does he still... I mean, just to give you an instance, right, 4 o'clock this morning... I'm up because she's shitting on the floor in the bedroom. And you know, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You went out to the loo before I went to bed. Why at 4 are you now needing a shit? So I'm downstairs at the door. It's bloody freezing. Yeah. She's out there shitting, pissing. I'm like, for fuck's sake, man. It really does get tough at times. Right, Patty Son, we have a little segment on our podcast called What's Getting On My Shitting Tits? And there is a lot that gets on my tits, and I am very interested to know, what does Vicky Patterson have that gets on her tits?
Oh, how long you fucking got, Ange?
Oh, we've got fucking ages. We have got fucking ages.
I'm so annoyed at loads of stuff at the minute, and I really want to blame it on the period, but I've just come off it.
Post-menstrual stress, though. Post-menstrual stress is a thing. It is a thing.
Whoa. Oh, buzzing, mate. Well, I've got that and all then. Right, well, that's getting on me tits. Oh, no. So, do you know what's really annoying me at the moment? Unsolicited dog advice.
That is a brilliant one. That is a fucking banging one.
Just fuck off.
Yes, Patty, I'm totally with you there, mate. I'm totally with you.
Honestly,
you know, people that slide into your DMs and are like, I wouldn't feed them that food if I were you. Did you hear they recalled 3 bags of that? Fuck off, Tracy. Tracy, Karen, whatever your name is.
Honestly, I swear to God, I could just go through my DMs at the moment, right? And there would be like a million different people telling me the most bizarre, insane, and I'd like to point out, contradictory information, but passing it off as gospel fucking fact, right? Yeah. And I swear to God, it drives me, it takes all of my energy, and I am a nice person now. I am a nice person now. But it takes all of my energy not to be like, oh, honestly, just fuck off,
just
man.
Just fuck off.
You are not David Attenborough.
No.
You are not an expert.
Or Dr. Doolittle last time I checked. Can you talk to the animals? No, you fucking can't.
No. Yeah. So don't tell me what Milo needs. Like, yes. I want to tell myself that loads of it is coming from a really good place. But also, I just think I would never slide into anybody's DMs.
No.
Whether it be a dog mom, a real mom, any kind of mother.
Whatever.
And tell them how to raise their child. Like, I would never overstep the boundaries like that. And I understand I might look like a bumbling idiot with Milo sometimes, but we are really happy.
Yeah.
Yes. And I just get so mad when everyone like, oh, patronises us about it. Because I think, do you know my favourite one is when he was chewing shoes, mate, right? And he's having a bit of a go at it at the minute, right? And I know it's because he's grown, he's trying to assert his dominance, he's pushing the boundaries, he's working out who's in charge. Yeah. It's fucking not me. But he's, we've established that, Milo. But anyway, some woman comes into my DMs and goes, oh, he shouldn't be doing that, you know. Have you tried getting him a chew toy?
Right. What?
Hang on a
second. No shit, Sherlock. A chew toy? Are you joking?
You mean you do chew toys for dogs?
What? This is like brand new information.
I thought those bones were for me. I'm fuming, mate. Honestly. I just think it took all of my energy not to tell this woman to just to go fuck herself.
No, yeah. Do you know what, though? It's always like, you know, it's always like, I really feel like I've been watching your stories for a bit. And I really feel like I want you to know that. Okay, to be honest, I don't need to know that information. No. I didn't need it 20 minutes ago. I definitely don't need it now. Hiya, no. Just thought I'd let you know that whenever a message request starts with, have you thought about, I'm like, fuck off. Fuck, I get it quite a lot. I've got a condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I talk about it quite a lot on my social media, and my husband and I don't have kids because we haven't been able to, and I get so many people who are really well-meaning but come into my DMs and go, I don't know if you've heard, but there's this supplement. I'm like, fucking hell, I've been on this journey 9 years. I've shoved everything into my body. I've put my legs in the air. I've taken all the supplements. I've shoved
stuff up my bum.
I've shoved stuff in my fanny.
And that wasn't anything to do with me illness. That was just
I just loved having stuff up my
that
bum.
That was just fun. That was just a bit of bum fun. And we all have a bit of bum fun every now and then.
I've done it with relation to this. You name it, I've done it. So I tell you what, just fuck off.
Yeah, honestly. I feel like I had one woman this morning and I won't talk about her because I feel like it's so sly. If she listens to this, she'll know exactly who she is.
She probably won't listen to this.
But she was so angry at me for putting Milo's poo on my Insta story.
What?
And she said it really triggered her and all of this stuff. And I was like,
oh, God.
You know, so
triggering.
Hard. Yeah.
Triggering.
She was like, going shitting tits. Yeah.
Everyone's got to be careful with that. You've got to be careful with that, man. Just triggered me because you just got to be careful. I mean, somebody being triggered by dog poo is ridiculous, but
yeah, that's what I'm on about. I'm on about
Ange, you're
going to
get cancelled.
Well, cancel me.
No, because if you get cancelled, I get cancelled.
Well, that was you sounded like one of the Gallaghers there, like, cancel me. Yeah. I feel like if they were like still shouting now, that's the type of thing they'd shout.
Oh my God, Ange, we are the Gallaghers.
We actually are.
Podcast Gallaghers.
Yeah.
You yobs.
I would be Liam.
Little yobs.
You would definitely be Liam.
Yeah, I'd be Liam, yeah.
You said that in such earnest.
I'd be Liam. Which is the one who's a dickhead?
No.
let me just Google which one of the Gallaghers is a dickhead.
Who was the front man?
Noel was the front man.
Yeah, I'm not him. You're him.
No.
You don't give a shit. That's Noel.
No, that's Liam. Liam's the one that's always big into the, you know, fuck you, fuck this, I'm leaving. Liam is the front man.
Yeah, you're Liam, Ange.
I always thought Noel was the front man.
No, I'm Noel. I'm the, like, cooler, let's just get on with it vibe.
Oh, no, it's really suggesting Liam is the biggest dickhead on here.
Yeah, you're Liam,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I'm happy to be Liam. I wanted to be Liam.
I'm
Liam.
Liam was the one that said he ordered Domino's while he was on stage and he's actually got it delivered on stage.
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah, didn't give a shit. And he was like, I've just got my Domino's coming here, guys. Sit, bring it in.
I mean, Liam actually performed at Reading Fest this summer, and he was actually shit.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
yeah.
Not surprised. Yeah, I mean, he's not my type of sound anyway, to be honest. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
and actually, just proved me right.
He fucked it.
I've got a shitting tits that I think you'll get on board with, Vicky. Wanted to share with you.
Hit me.
Go on.
Jeans get on my shitting tits, right? Because I can buy the same pair of jeans, exactly the same cut, from the same shop. One of them is like, I can't get it over my bum. Yeah. God, I can't even get my foot in it. And then you get it to the waist and you're like, fuck off. You're supposed to be a dress size 20. You, yeah. This is not. And then you try exactly the same pair on and it's like, oh God, they fit perfect. What is that about?
Jeans are bastards.
Yeah, I do think jeans are a bit of a cunt's trick. If it, they are. I just think they're so crap. Like if it,
they are.
If it was me, right, and I always say this, like if I had a clothes shop, the first thing I'd do is make sizing really generous, and like not because like I'm egotistical or I want to feel better about myself or anything, but because basically like. If I went shopping and was like, oh, I'm in a 12 there, or oh, I'm in a 10 there, or like whatever, I'd be absolutely over the moon and I'd know it would make us feel good and I'd have a good day. And wouldn't that be nice for all of the women as well? I know we're so much more than a clothes size, but wouldn't it just be better? So I don't understand why every time I go shopping, it feels like the sizes get smaller. I'm like, why do you want me to hate ourselves? Because I've got a pair from last year that fit us absolutely fine.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. Shitter. And don't you dare blame lockdown weight. Don't anyone come at me and say, well, it's obviously because you've put on some pounds in lockdown. Fuck off.
No. Yeah. That can also go in shitting spots.
Oh, God. Have I noticed you've put on some weight?
Yes.
Have I noticed it's none of your business?
Yeah.
Yes, I have actually.
Yes, we all have.
Yes,
Karen.
You've been sat around doing fuck all, Karen, for the last 18 months.
Karen hasn't. Karen's been out.
Karen's been out working out 24 hours a day.
Karen was one of them pricks who put a 5K time up, man. Nobody cared, Karen. Nobody cares.
She was, yeah.
Nobody cares about your sunrise yoga or your green juice. Don't care about any of it.
What is it with Karens?
I feel really bad because I bet you there's some really nice Karens out there sitting there like...
But the bad Karens ruin it for the rest of them,
don't they? They do, yeah.
Like one bad apple. Now, I am going to bring you to a fact. So we have a segment on the show called Finding the Facts.
This is actually quite a new segment.
Very,
Patterson.
Very new segment.
Are you just trialling it? Am I a guinea pig?
No, we've done it before, but we've never done it with a guest. We haven't ever done it with a guest, so you are guinea pig guest vibes.
Yeah. Okay, come on then, hit me.
So we've stayed on brand and called it Finding the Facts.
Okay. Finding the Facts.
And she does a little bit of a jingle.
Nice,
Finding the Facts. I give a little click at the end.
Yeah, Liam Gallagher could learn a lot from you.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Where's her dominoes?
Yeah, somebody get her dominoes now.
Where's the shitting dominoes, kids? Someone get it.
Pepperoni passion ASAP, fuckers.
ASAP.
Pepperoni passion.
That was so fabs.
Yeah, well, the best thing to say in a Geordie accent is Rolla Corsta.
Or Undercrackers.
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 I honestly absolutely love the Geordie accent. I do think it's one of my faves.
Same.
I just wish I could say more.
Me too. It's one that you lose. You can't really take the piss out of it for long, can you? Because you lose it.
No.
It is a tough one. I even lose it. I live down south these days, and every so often I find myself slipping out of it a little bit.
But
I get a right bollocking off me pals. I've started calling myself Milo's mummy, and they're like, "You're Milo's ma," and I'm like, okay, I am Milo's ma."
Milo's ma.
No, that was terrible. So look, the fact that I've got for you, Vicky, do you know who the super vet is, Noel Fitzpatrick?
I don't think I do.
Oh no, this fact is...
Have you ever seen the programme, The Super Vet?
I don't think so.
No.
No, I know this... I don't think... But do you know why? And it's not because I don't love animals, it's because I love animals too much, and I think
you can't
that would...
watch it.
It would
this
just get very upset.
Work, then.
Is it,
this
honestly,
fact isn't going to work.
Let's not be so dismissive.
There's no one know who the super vet is.
But I can imagine.
Let's go with it.
Google the super vet. Have a look at him. Get a vibe from his picture. So this is a guy who makes bionic limbs for animals.
He is the super vet.
Oh my God, his program is actually amazing. Yeah. So he'll like take tiny puppies who have been knocked over by cars and make bionic limbs for them, like tiny little screwdrivers into their legs, save their life.
Tiny little screws.
You see, this is definitely too sad for me. Like, just hearing this explanation has me well.
But it's also quite joyful.
Oh, very joyful. He actually saved Deck's dog.
His And he saved his own.
Yeah, he did.
I love how you thought that was the angle that was going to get me into it. Like, he saved he saved Deck's dog. So.
Yeah, you know Deck, fellow Geordie. Yeah. You know Deck, as in
King of Newcastle.
I'm Ant-Man, I'm Deck Pet, those two. He saved his dog.
Yeah. Well, I can see him saving loads of animals here, but it does look very sad to me. But I still want your fact. I'm now curious, George.
The fact is, Kathy Dennis, who is a big British songwriter.
Okay.
Have you heard of Kathy Dennis?
Unfortunately, I don't know who Kathy is either, so we've really dropped it.
She's written loads and loads of songs. If you Google
her,
you would know a whole host of her songs.
Google Kathy. Let's get on. We're really Googling the shit out of it.
Kathy Dennis.
And Google, if you want to sponsor us, because we've said Google so many times, we'll happily fucking take it.
Oh, Kathy's very, very pretty, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
Right, she's married to Alan.
She's written
Big Al.
She's married
to Big Al. Do they know it's Christmas?
Yeah, yeah. She's written so many songs.
Fuck off all night long.
Yeah,
all night long.
Gotta be careful of copyright.
Apparently, you can do something like 25 seconds, and they kind of do you.
There you go.
This
Patterson.
Is good info to
Patterson's,
know.
Patterson's brings facts now.
Yeah, now that's a relevant fact.
Anyway, listen, Kathy also wrote the song Toxic, sung by Britney Spears.
That's amazing. This is a fact within a fact.
This is a lot of facts.
Toxic is rumoured to be written about the super vet Noel Fitzpatrick because it was released the year they split up and she was devastated and she went on to pen Toxic as a result of that relationship.
No!
Yes.
Isn't that the best fucking fact
that is a mega fact,
that's
I think.
That's amazing. That's where
if
you were
you
going.
If you think about Noel Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. the super vet...
Yeah.
Mm.
And then you think about the lyrics of that lyrics
taste
of that
of
song.
Your lips,
I've Googled
the lyrics.
Chuck that Google in there.
Let's chuck another Google.
I've Googled
in there.
The lyrics. Yeah. Okay. Just so we can get an idea of maybe what Noel Fitzpatrick
is like.
Hit me. Lyrics.
So the opening lyrics are, "Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling.
There's no escape.
I can't wait. I need a hit, baby. Give me it. You're dangerous. I'm loving it." And then you go into your classic. With a taste of your lips, am I right?
When I shared this with Ange, this fact, Ange just kept saying, he's trying to anaesthetise. You should wear a warning. I'm falling. That is, you're toxic.
I'm slipping under. Yes. There's actually a line that says, I'm slipping under as well.
Anaesthetising. He was anaesthetising her.
Oh, honestly, out of all the things I thought like that was going to be, that's not where I saw it ending up.
No. Can you believe Toxic? Now, if you watch an episode, oh God, I'm crying.
I'm not ever going to be able to listen to that the same way again.
You won't be able to. I put it on after I found out this fact and I was like, oh my God, this is about Noel Fitzpatrick, the super vet. He makes bionic limbs for dogs.
So I've seen the way he looks, right? And he's not my type. I'm sure he's a lovely bit of kit for a woman of a certain age, but he's not my type. But what is his personality like? Does he give birth to charisma?
Not really.
Just to be clear, we're obviously not saying that the super vet tried to anaesthetise Kathy. Just to clear us of any kind of...
I feel like this podcast is absolutely going to have to come with a disclaimer. It's going to have to come with a disclaimer. It's going to trigger a lot of people.
And this is going to fucking end it, mate.
No, but he seems quite a sort of gentle sort of character, doesn't he? He's very sort of calm.
Aww. It's always the quiet
very
ones.
Sort of well-mannered. Exactly. You know, he gets his kit out and bang, you're slipping under. That's what's happening. I mean, the fact that he might have even got some of his little screwdrivers out.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps
he's got mini screwdrivers.
Do you want to hear a fact from me?
Yes, always.
Bring it, Patterson.
I've got one, and you got me thinking about it, Ruth, when you started talking about the animal fella, the vet.
Noel. I don't know who Neil is, but his name's Noel. Anyway.
Neil Fitzpatrick.
Carry on, Victor, whatever your name is.
So hang on, is it Noel or Neil?
It's Noel.
Sorry, Noel.
Yeah.
Right. So Mr. Fitzpatrick. Anyway, right. So listen, when you know what? Elephants. So the same chemical gets released in an elephant's brain when they look at us. That gets released in our brain when we look at puppies. They think we're really cute.
Elephants love that fact.
Isn't it quite nice? Yeah.
Oh, so I love elephants.
We're like little puppies to elephants, so think of that, man. How nice is that? So I should always be nice to elephants.
So when they look at us, they're like, oh my God, they're so cute.
They want to play with us.
Yeah.
They want to play with us and have fun. Great fact.
That is amazing.
I hope it's true now I've said it on the podcast.
Well, we're saying it's true.
Yeah,
that's it.
If we get sued, Patterson is coming straight to you, mate.
Who's going to sue elephants? All the things yous have said on here. And you think elephants are going to get together and write a letter and sue her? Fuck off,
true that.
Also, I think, you know, basically, once it's on Finding the Facts, that then becomes truth.
You legitimise said fact.
Nice vocab there, Patterson. Legitimise.
Look, Vicky, we always end our podcast with a slightly more serious segment.
Ooh, okay.
We've talked about lots of different things. Andrew's been through the early menopause. We've talked about that. We've talked about addiction. We've talked about infertility. Lots and lots of different things. And you've been really vocal on your own kind of platforms about your own mental health, really. You've also talked yourself about your own fertility, haven't you?
Yeah, mate, like, this is all still so raw for me. Obviously, like, as a woman in her 30s, like, there's things you've grown through and things you've kind of, like, got your head around, like, body positivity. Like, I finally think I've got my head around that, you know. Mm-hmm. I know I'm done trying to make my body look a certain way. Like, I like cheese and chocolate too much. You know, same. Like, all the same. But, you know, with your 30s comes this, like, fresh wave of shit. Mm-hmm. And, like, for me, it has definitely brought with it some like fertility issues, so I don't want to upset anyone, because I know everyone has such individual journeys, but I have really suffer with my periods, like quite painful. And I came off so I'd been on the contraceptive implant for like 15 years. From when I was like at uni, and it was like this year I kind of sort of said to myself, listen, I'm losing the plot here. Like, for 3 weeks of the month, I just actually don't recognize myself. I am, oh God, like erratic. I can't articulate myself properly. I'm like crying 1 minute and then like hysterically happy the next. There's just, there's got to be something that's not right here, because it just... Everybody can't be going through this, you know? That was kind of my thought. So I went to see a doctor, and she said, like, the first thing I'd completely advocate is you getting the implant out your arm. So I did. I got it out, and for like the last 8 months or so, I've been living synthetic hormone free. And my body's been trying to find balance and an equilibrium. And I suppose I expected a certain amount of heavy bleeding, pain, all the rest of it, as my body found its happy medium again. But like, I just knew something still wasn't right. So I've been to see the doctor again, and pushed for tests, and you know, I don't think we should have to push for tests. I don't think we should have to be in this amount of pain to get basic like reproductive like health care. So I went and got all my abdomen scanned, ultrasound, etc. And they found a 4-centimetre cyst on one of my ovaries.
God.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is quite large. And
Yes.
So, and there's some more cysts on the other sides and things I couldn't see quite clearly and stuff. So it explains why my periods are so painful, for starters, but also poses problems if I would like to conceive naturally. And like, I've just received this information, lasses. So, like, it's all proper raw, and I'm a little bit emotional about it. But yeah, that is where I stand at the moment. So I'm going to obviously tell everyone on social media. Like, I kind of help myself. I kind of keep a secret. You didn't even press us on that, and I tell you everything. So, and I think as well, I owe it to everybody if you have a bit of a platform to be honest about this kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I'm gonna talk about that on Instagram soon, and I'm just gonna hopefully start navigating it and work like taking like steps going forward are best for me. Whether that be like surgery, whether that just be monitoring it, who knows? Because I haven't got kids, and I don't know if motherhood is for me or what. But you know what? It just feels, I don't know, it feels like a door I didn't want to have closed, if that makes sense. So,
and I think that's true, isn't it? I think, you know, if you have a choice as to whether you want to have children or not, it's very different to having that choice completely removed from you.
110%.
And I've definitely, like, the last 9 years have been that exact journey for me of, like, haven't been able to have children and probably coming to a stage now where I think about myself being child-free rather than child-less. But that is something that has taken a huge amount of time and grieving and will continually be something I grieve, that I've never been able to be a mum. But I think that first point of diagnosis is a very heady mix of relief. Somebody has found something isn't right and I'm relieved by that versus, God, I'm terrified about the unknown and what this means for my future.
That is it. Like, and I haven't, you know, I'm terrible at keeping secrets. And I verbalize everything, you know. I'm like, I always put my whole self out there on social media and with everybody and all the rest of it. Whether it's TV shows, books, podcasts, whatever, I'm just honest. Mm-hmm. But like, I haven't spoke about it yet. And it's not because I plan on keeping it to myself. It's because I haven't quite processed it yet.
Yourself, yeah.
Like, I don't know, you know, and like, I know there's some, God, like, yourself, Ruth, like, and who's in a lot further down the line of this than me, and, you know, potentially in an even more difficult situation, but I still just can't ignore the fact that I'm upset.
And have, like, they given you any, so do you have at the moment any indication of kind of what that next sort of step looks like? Or is it literally like, okay, I've just been given this information and I still don't really know what would happen next or what the plans are?
Well, it's fresh. So I literally was just there on Thursday.
Wow.
So, God. I know. So you get your results of scans relatively fast, you know, they can see what they need to see. But I had loads of blood tests and stuff done. I'll be getting those results today. So, you know, have I got PMDD? Is there something else at play as well? Which is why I don't recognise myself on my periods. Or is it just these cysts being so painful that I am actually losing myself through it?
What is PMDD? I've not heard of
premenstrual. That. Oh, God. I'll Google
it. So it's about...
it's essentially heightened period symptoms.
Yeah, so it's like... So lots of women can think about taking their own life and stuff like that with PMDD. It's like a complete... It's like PMS on steroids, basically.
110%.
And it can spiral women into very deep depressions before their period. You know, not just like, I'm stressed and I'm
just
crying. Like,
bit,
absolutely devastatingly horrible consequences around periods and emotions.
It's depressive symptoms. Like, it's almost like the world would be better off without me.
Yeah, and it's all of that stuff.
It's horrific.
It is. It's awful. It's a very, very debilitating condition, which isn't spoken about enough, actually. You know,
completely
honestly.
Agree.
Vicky, are you happy for us to, like, use this in our podcast, or would you rather we just kind of didn't and we can talk about something else? Like, how...
Don't be deaf, babe. That's really sensitive of you, and I appreciate you being so thoughtful. But honestly, like, when I say I'm an open book, I really am.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the things
definitely.
I love about you, and I think that's what lots of people love about you, is this absolute genuine authenticity. Yeah. Like, there is no bullshit. Like, this is me. If you don't like it, piss off. If you like it, stick around. And I absolutely love that about you. And I think in this kind of social media world we live in now, I think we need more people like you.
Definitely.
To be honest, to be real, to say when it's shit, to say when it's great. And I absolutely love that. And one of the things we sort of talked when Pats and I were doing our prep was about your kind of the time when you were on I'm a Celeb. And how, like, I obviously, as we've spoken about, I didn't really watch Geordie Shore. I've never watched Geordie Shore. So I knew who you were, but I didn't really know anything about you. And I remember I was watching it with my kids and we were like, we just want Vicky to win.
Yeah.
We love Vicky.
Yeah, big time.
Because you were just... You were just brilliant.
Thanks,
and
man.
I wondered if, like, that was that a point for you that you felt like you were actually really able to show this is the real me? Of all the other shit that I've done, of all the other programs you've seen me on, this is me and this is who I am. And was that helpful for you at that time?
So for me, the I'm a Celebrity process was such a pivotal moment in my career and my life in general. Like, before I went on that show, I was probably relatively unknown, unless you are between about the ages of like 16 to 24, like a very niche demographic. And even if you knew who I were, the chances are you didn't like us. I was divisive as a character, you know? And then beyond that, there is such preconceived notions and ideals around reality TV stars, in particular ones from Geordie Shore, you know? So everyone thought, and that show, when I was announced I was going in, like, Twitter exploded. That was, like, the medium of the time. And it was, get her out. We don't want her in. What's she going to do? She's going to ruin it. And I understand people are protective of I'm a Celeb. It's a British institution. It's one of my favourite shows. But what did they honestly believe I was going to do? Like, walk in and, like, call everyone cunts and fucking do Jaeger bombs and slut drop on Ant and Dec? Like, it's just insane.
That would have been entertaining.
Absolutely, don't get me wrong, but so I can understand it to a certain point, but within 24 hours of me going in, I was the favourite to win.
Oh my gosh.
I stayed that way till the very end.
Yeah.
And, like, no disrespect to any of my amazing campmates, like, I won by a landslide, and I love the show for giving me the opportunity to show that I'm a team player, I'm kind, I'm compassionate, I'm articulate, all these things. And I'm not that person that that they believed I was, you know? Yeah. In Geordie Shore, 100 hours of footage goes into make 42 minutes of show.
Wow.
You know, like, they can make you be anything you want. And I'm not suggesting for any single second I wasn't an arsehole at times, because I was. And I've got to take that on the chin. Like, I'm all
We're
about...
We're all arseholes at times, Vicky,
But I'm not an arsehole all the time. And,
no.
And
oh, God, no.
I'm a Celebrity allowed me to show everybody that. And, like, I'll just always be grateful for everything I've got off the back of that. Like, whether it be, like, work
You've also really openly spoken about your relationship with alcohol, haven't you? And kind of your up and down. I read an amazing quote by Bryony Gordon a couple of weeks ago, who said that alcohol in her life has masqueraded as a relaxant rather than a depressant. Mm-hmm. And it's been playing an Oscar-winning action role for years in her life. It was showing up as this thing that relaxes you. And and alcohol is such an interesting one, isn't it? Because we all have very strong opinions about Class A drugs and whether people do drugs or not. But actually, the social acceptance of alcohol, especially in the UK, especially with shows like Geordie Shore that are made off the back of binge drinking, in terms of, like, your alcohol use, and, you know, you speak very openly about your mental health and how that's been up and down, as it is for everybody, I think. But in terms of your alcohol usage and stuff, what lessons have you learned, I suppose, along the way?
I think, like, that is a great quote, and, like, it's taken me to, I think, late 20s, I started to realise that I'd abused alcohol at points in my life, you know? Again, it is completely socially acceptable in this country to binge drink, you know? Or at least it was when I was younger. I know we're being far more progressive, and younger generation are taking huge leaps to being, I suppose, a different generation, you know? I see a lot more of them, like, doing yoga and hiking than ever was in my day.
We
just used to get a bottle of 2020 and drink down the park.
I want to be in your camp. I want to be hiking and yoga.
So, yeah, I think alcohol is a depressant. Yeah. And because it's legal, we are tricked into believing, like, it's okay. And it's madness, because it's the only drug that you're made to feel bad about not doing.
If someone's
a raging cokehead, you're like, they're a disgrace. If someone's mainlining heroin, you're like, oh my God, help that. But you know, if someone's not drinking at a party, you're like, what's fucking wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
What? No. So like, we need to change our attitudes towards it. Like, if one of my mates walks out on a night out and goes, like, oh, I'm not drinking, or oh, I'm doing dry Jan, I'm doing sober October,
sober, I'm like, fucking good for you, mate.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you've obviously, whether you've noticed destructive patterns, whether you yourself feel like you need a break, whether you just want to reset, whether you want to prove it doesn't have a hold on you that you potentially think it might. All these things are incredible. Don't think I'm not going to be the wind at your back. I'm going to support you here.
Yeah.
So I think we all need to change the way we think about alcohol. Over the last couple of years, I've changed the way I drink. And I think maybe that was the trajectory I was on naturally. Whether you're in your 30s, everyone just calms down. Or whether it's something I've not done so organically and done through real self-reflection. I didn't like who I was when I was really drunk. I don't know many great drunks. You know, good on a couple of glasses of wine, fair enough, you know? I'm funnier, I'm louder, I'm a laugh. Everyone likes Vicky on a couple of glasses of wine, but Vicky after 10 Jägerbombs, straight dickhead. And I don't know many people who are nice after that much.
Did you ever find that, like, it was more that you'd go out with the intention, I'm just going to have a few, but then there was no, like, off switch? Like, is that something that you kind of... Because that's what I sort of think sometimes with people I've known that have kind of gone out for a few and then gone absolutely mental. And it is that difference between knowing to kind of stop or just going, fuck it, this is it, I'm going and I'm going to go crazy. Was that...
Groundhog
Have
days,
you ever felt that? Yeah.
I have an addictive personality and it's not something that I've ever hidden. And I think if you follow me at all, it's quite apparent.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to lose weight or if I'm going to like try and be healthier, like I'm going to be fucking counting how many blueberries I put on my porridge like a nutcase, you know? Or if I want to, if I'm having a party, like I'll be the last one standing. Like, unfortunately, that's how I'm wired. So I've had to really work hard to find balance in my life and realize like, God, like being healthy isn't about being super skinny, Vicky. Like, you don't have to weigh yourself every day. You don't have to like... You don't have to be doing like three exercise classes, like allow it, you know, being healthy is about balance and enjoying your life and having a couple of drinks here and then. So balance is something I've really had to work at because it's not something that comes naturally to
me.
But I'm finding it 34, shit, it took us a while.
Do you know what, Vicky?
You are like, bloody wonderful.
I have been excited for this and to meet you. And I think, you know, we are so grateful that you've given us your time. But for me, more than anything, like as we come to the end of this podcast, I just want to say that you are exactly as you appear publicly. Yeah. Like, there's not many people that you meet that you go, fucking hell, she is the same, sat on Zoom in a podcast record with two girls that she doesn't really know as she is when she is on TV. Like, you are just consistently yourself. And I think if there's any message that we could send anybody listening to this, it's that just be consistently yourself.
Be more Vicky.
Be more Patty Sun.
Be more Patty Sun.
You've made me so happy.
Anyway, look, we have come to the end of another episode. There's loads of places. Obviously, you'll all know where you can find Vicky, but she's on social media. Vicky Patterson is her name. As well as social media, you can find Vicky on all podcast platforms. Vicky, what's your podcast called?
It's called Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. And I have like a really nice chat with some lovely guests. And then right at the end, we give you guys a little takeaway, a little secret 2. So it could be the secret of being fabulous at 40, the secret to longevity, the secret to getting over heartbreak. And rumour has it, you two lovely ladies have agreed to do mine as well.
Yes, we're so excited.
We can't wait.
Pod swap.
So you can find...
What are you saying?
Pod swap.
Oh, pod swap. Yeah. I thought you were saying parslop.
I thought you were going to say parsnip, and then I was like, right, that is all I'm going to say from now on. Parsnip instead of podswap.
Parsnip.
So you can find Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2, on all major podcast platforms.
And you can also find... Sorry, I forgot my little bit there. I mean, I don't have a big bit normally, so this is just my little bit. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
But listen, Vicky, we are so grateful to you for your time, for your attention
with us,
for all the fun you've given us, for the laughs.
For all the techno shit we had to go through to get here.
I can't wait to listen to this episode. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Thanks so much, guys.
So thank you so much, Vicky, for joining us. You've been wonderful.
You've been bloody marvellous. I mean, that wasn't Geordie. What would you say bloody marvellous in Geordie?
Oh, I don't think any Geordie's ever said bloody marvellous.
What would you say then?
Fucking class.
Fucking class. That was fucking class, mate.
Right.